What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Friday, November 1st. Welcome to November, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And yes, today, the last day of the week, the weekend is here. I hope everybody enjoyed their Halloween. I hope you got all the candy you want, although I'll be honest, all the lists on Twitter of like what candy you enjoy and what ones you don't enjoy, not that original. Like, yes, we all like certain candies, and I'll be honest, we all know the best candy is Reese's Pieces. That is the best candy, and then the goat candy is the Hershey's Kiss. And like everything after that, like you're just trying to stand out at that point. Those are the two best candies, it's undisputed. But let's get to the Eagles, because today is a big day for the Eagles, and yesterday was a busy day for the Eagles, and I want to talk about a player that I think the Eagles should target in a trade. At first, I wasn't as into it, but the more research I did, the more I asked around, I think that this would be a really good option for the Eagles. So let's talk about what to look out for today. And then I got some AJ Brown audio for you, some Brandon Graham audio for you. And we are going to preview an important matchup in this game, the Eagles pass rush versus the Jaguars offensive line. But first, on the schedule today, it is our final time hearing from Nick Sirianni before the Eagles take the field on Sunday against the Jaguars. Nick is scheduled to speak to the media at 11:40 a.m., Hopefully we get some injury updates from Nick, because there are a few key Eagles still on the injury report, which we will get into in a second. So Nick at 11:40 a.m. Practice is at 12:30. As I always say, a chance to see who's out there, who's not, another look at who might play on Sunday. And then at 1:40, the locker room opens. Maybe we'll hear from some of these injured Eagles. So we talked about yesterday on the injury report, there was a surprise addition of Jalen Carter and Landon Dickerson. Today, the Eagles practice once again. And by today, I mean Thursday. Sorry for pulling back the, you know, whatever the expression is that I would only be able to say if James was here. But on Thursday, Dallas Goedert and Darius Slay did not practice. Dallas Goedert didn't practice with a hamstring injury. Darius Slay didn't practice due to a groin injury. At this point, I don't think either of those players are playing. I think they will be out against the Jaguars. They'll likely be ruled out later today when the final injury report comes out. So Goedert, Slay, my guess is out versus the Jaguars. Isaiah Rogers likely to start in Slay's place. And then you'll see a lot more Grant Calcaterra, as you have the past few weeks, with Goedert out. As for the other players that might be somewhat questionable, I believe Mekhi Becton's going to play. He was a full participant. He's still recovering from that concussion. Jalen Carter didn't practice on Wednesday due to a shoulder injury. He was a full participant on Thursday, so he's good to go. Albert O, full participant with the abdomen injury. I believe they have to make a decision today about what to do with him, so keep an eye out on that, on potentially him going onto the 53-man roster or just being waived outright. Landon Dickerson. So Landon Dickerson was listed as limited today. He didn't practice yesterday. My inclination is that Landon Dickerson is going to play. I haven't had a chance to talk to him in the locker room this week. I've seen him in the locker room walking around talking to teammates. He seems in good spirits, doesn't have like a bunch of ice on his knee or anything like that. I think he probably will play. Landon's a guy that unfortunately like does deal with a lot of injuries. That's the nature of the position. So it really could just be they're resting him up, but wanted him to get some reps today. My guess is Landon Dickerson plays, Jalen Carter plays, Becton plays, and then they're going to be without Goedert and Darius Slay. So that's what I would expect. But again, today we'll get that final injury report to hear a little bit more about where this team is at. All right. So before we get into stuff from the, well, you know what? Actually, let me do the locker room stuff first. I think that makes a little more sense. The most interesting thing I heard today, got a chance to talk to AJ Brown. AJ Brown, I asked him what it's like to work with Nick Sirianni when it comes to adjusting plays, the offense. And this is on the back of, well, I didn't reference this to be clear. This is on the back of Brian Baldinger tweeting out that players went to the coaches during the bye week and said that they wanted to maybe change some things up. So with that in mind, I wanted to ask AJ what it's like to work with Nick when it comes to changing plays and those things. So to be clear, this is not about the report, but it is about what's it like to work with Nick Sirianni. Here's what AJ Brown had to say.
With an idea for the offense, whether it's something you think you should be doing, a play you really like, just in your experience with Nick over the years, what's it like?
What it's like? I record whatever I want to see or whatever I think about, and I send it to him, and I just call him and talk to him. It's that simple.
He's open to it, though? Like, it's, yeah, he's very open to it?
He's always open to it. he's always open to it. He does a good job of always giving us feedback, you know, and whenever he don't like something, he'll tell us and he'll tell us why. And then he just, I mean,
I do think one thing, and we talk about it quite a bit on the pod, but one thing that is clear from just not that answer, but from talking to players about Nick throughout the year since he's been here, he is very approachable. I think players are very, very open to going to Nick and saying like, hey, I saw this play. I think we should do it this way. Or, hey, we're not doing this enough. Or I'm at home. It's a Tuesday at 10 o'clock. I'm watching tape. Here's my thought. And I think Nick is very responsive with that stuff. I always hear a lot from players that, you know, they text with Nick. They'll talk on the phone with Nick. And it's an important part, again, of having a relationship. Like if you're AJ Brown, you're watching tape at home on a Wednesday and you have a thought and you want to talk to Nick about it and he's there at that minute or whatever to talk to you, I think that is important when it comes to the relationships between players and coaches. But the other part of this is one thing, and look, we'll see if it changes, right? I don't think any coach comes into the job power hungry unless you're Chip Kelly. But one thing that I do think is true about Nick so far is he doesn't strike me as a big ego guy. Like he is a proud guy and he is very emotional, but he doesn't strike me as somebody that is too proud to be like, no, we're absolutely doing it my way. I mean, look, he gave the offense up to a certain degree this year. He gave up play calling 5 or 6 games into his rookie season as a head coach. He's never demanded more personnel control. And I know you're probably listening and going, well, it's because he's a terrible coach. Although actually I trust the Go Birds listeners a little more than that. But I think people would say, well, he can't ask for personnel control. He could. He got all the way to the Super Bowl. He could certainly try, right? So I think that Nick, in general, I've been impressed with his ability to really listen to others around him and not demand certain things that maybe other head coaches would. So I just thought that was an interesting piece of audio, a nice peeling back of the curtain. That's the expression I was looking for earlier, about what it's like between Nick and his players. So what I really wanted to talk about today, though, was I am officially in on the idea of trading for Za'Darius Smith. I'll be honest, at first when his name floated around, I thought, older edge rusher, has had a little bit of injury problems, like not that into the idea. Felt like a Robert Quinn 2.0. But the more I looked into it, the more I thought about it, and like I said, the more like you talk to people, I think it would be a really smart move. So where is this coming from? First, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reports that the Browns want a very good day 3 pick and a 4th rounder or so would probably get it done. So you're looking at, right there, like a 4th rounder. That's what it's going to cost to acquire Za'Darius Smith. Now, if that's what they're asking for and there's not a ton of interest, maybe you are looking at a conditional 5th round pick, a straight up 5th round pick. So the bottom line is the price tag for Za'Darius Smith is not going to be that intense or that strong. I think it's a manageable trade to go trade from. You're not talking about trading a 3rd round pick. You're not trading multiple ones or a 1st round pick for Myles Garrett. Now, I would do that without question, but the price tag for Za'Darius Smith via the trade market seems like it's not going to be that high. So one thing that I really like about Za'Darius Smith is he is still a very productive player, but I think, and I did this, so like I am guilty of it. I think that when it comes to trading for old edge rushers, the Robert Quinn traumatic experience for fans really steps in. Robert Quinn, obviously the Eagles traded for him the year they went to the Super Bowl, never really contributed, dealt with, I believe it was a knee injury at the time, wasn't back with the team the year after. So just a miss, like a flat out miss by the front office. He wasn't able to contribute. And this team has never really done a great job in season of integrating players into the team and making them like instant impact guys. I know it's a different coaching staff, but Jannard Avery, Golden Tate, you know, we just talked about Robert Quinn. Like, it's just never really been a strength of theirs. But if you compare Robert Quinn to what Za'Darius Smith is this season, Za'Darius Smith is playing at a higher level this season than Robert Quinn was when they acquired him. So Robert Quinn in 2022, prior to being acquired, he was 32 years old at the time. He had 11 hurries, 2 hits, and 1 sack. Za'Darius Smith in 2024 so far, so in 8 games, he's 32, he'll be 33 next September. So same age as Robert Quinn, roughly when they traded for him. He has 19 hurries, so he has 8 more hurries, almost twice as much. That's a bit of, you know, leaning one way math, but almost twice as much. He has 1 hit, Robert Quinn had 2, so he has less hits, but he has 4 sacks compared to just 1 sack for Robert Quinn. So Za'Darius Smith is playing at a higher level. Now, Now, Robert Quinn at the time, if you remember, they acquired him. It was, well, he was really good last year. He's playing on a bad Chicago team. It's really hard to be good. And I probably thought some of that because I think there's some logic to it. But I think what we were ignoring is he just wasn't playing that well this season, that season they acquired him. Za'Darius Smith is playing well. He's averaging over two hurries a game. He's averaging half a sack every game. And he's coming off of years where he was also playing really well. Robert Quinn, remember, was coming off that massive season. Last year, Za'Darius Smith, 23rd in the NFL in combined hits, hurries, and sacks. He had 61. So to put that into some perspective, Hassan Reddick had 68 hits, hurries, and sacks last year. So, you know, basically the same thing. In 2022, Za'Darius Smith was 5th in the entire NFL with 80 hits, hurries, and sacks. So over the past 2 years, he has arguably been, and this year I believe he's 26th this year. Over the past 2 years, he has been a top 32 edge rusher. That, and I say that to say, if you took the best edge rushers from the entire league and ranked them 1 through 32, like Za'Darius Smith would be the best edge rusher on one team if you evenly distributed him out. So you're getting somebody that is used to being the top option, that is playing like a top option, and that, again, according to the trade, is not going to cost you a ton. So, like I said, 26 this year in total hits, hurries, and sacks. He has 24. Josh Sweat, surprisingly, has 25, so he has one more. I understand that maybe be a little bit of a worrisome figure for some to hear, but Sweat does get credited with quite a bit of hurries. Like, he has been winning along the edge, I think, a lot more than other edge rushers have on the team. So, other than Josh Sweat, no one else on the team has more than 10. So Za'Darius Smith is coming to the team with almost three times as many hits, hurries, and sacks as anybody else on the roster. So I still think he's a productive player. He's playing it like this year. He's been a productive player the last 2 years. There's no real sign of decline, at least statistically. Obviously, I haven't watched every Za'Darius Smith snap over the past few years, but there's no obvious sign of decline there. Another interesting fact, and this is according to our good buddy Brandon Lee Goutwin of Bleeding Green Nation, at the time that they acquired Robert Quinn, he had played 1,000 more snaps in his career than Za'Darius Smith has right now. So while they're the same age, I mean, that's almost two full seasons of less play than Robert Quinn had played. Now, part of the reason, and I don't think this is a huge concern, especially now that like you look more into it, but Smith has had back surgery. He had back surgery in 2021, and obviously with an edge rusher, when he's a little bit on the older side, that is a worrisome thing. But that season he had the back surgery, he came back and played in the playoffs that year, which is obviously encouraging, and then played 16 games in 2022, and he played 16 games in 2023. He's played all 8 games this year. So he's had an ability to stay healthy since the back injury, which is very encouraging. So not a ton via a draft pick, not nothing, but not a ton, it seems like. Still a very productive player, would be an obvious upgrade over who they have on the roster now. And now the last part of this is the cap hit. So this year he would have a cap hit of around $800,000. So quite literally nothing, basically not even worth mentioning. Next year, his cap hit, and this is the intriguing part, the appealing part for the Eagles. They have his cap hit next year. They own him first. He's under contract. So they have him for another year. His cap hit next year, $1.5 million. I will say there are a few bonuses in there. I'm not 100% sure if the Browns pay those out or the Eagles do. I believe the Eagles might. But even if they do, they don't add up to even like close to $5 million. So you're probably looking at $3-$3.5 million, maybe $4 million, which is close to $5 million. But you're not looking at a ton of money. Now, maybe you give him a new contract. You probably don't need to. He might really want one, and if he comes here and plays well, he might have some leverage to get it. But it's an attractive contract to acquire. In terms of draft picks, now a key part of what Jeremy Fowler said was they want like a good day three pick. Here's the problem the Eagles run into. In 2025, they have a 4th round pick and 3 5th round picks. But the picks they own, and this is according to Jimmy Kemsky, another one of our good friends, a Philly voice, the 4th round pick they have, the Lions. So that's the end of the 4th round. The 5th round picks, they have their own pick. They have the Texans, presumably a playoff team on the later side. And they have the Commanders pick, surprisingly a good team, and it looks like they'll be a playoff team. They also have nothing later. They don't have the 6th or a 7th. 2026, they have a 4th, a 5th, a 6th, and a 7th. So potentially there's some intriguing options there. But the reality is the Eagles own picks from good teams. They themselves are a good team. So if a bad team comes in, now the good news is a bad team is likely not going to come in and trade for a 32-year-old edge rusher. But if a good team owns a bad team's draft pick, then the Eagles might be in some trouble. But overall, I'm in on it. I would trade definitely a fifth round pick for him. I would probably do a fourth round pick for him. I think he's still a good player. I think you figure the snaps out. This is a team that has a chance to compete for a Super Bowl or is competing for a Super Bowl. I would go out and I would definitely trade for Za'Darius Smith. So on the other side, we're going to talk about the game this week. We're actually going to talk about the edge rushers because we are going to preview the Eagles edge rushers versus the Jacksonville Jaguars offensive line. That's on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsor. Okay, as we do every week, we are going to spend some time talking about the line play. Yesterday, we talked about the Eagles offensive line versus the Jaguars defensive line. The Jaguars defensive line really only has two players, two very good players, though, in Walker and Hines Allen. And it'll be key to shut them down. Like, they are the two players that could change the outcome of this game if they get consistent pressure and force Jalen into bad decisions. On the flip side, the Jaguars have an offensive line that is not that good and potentially got worse this week. Excuse me, that potentially got worse this week when they traded away Cam Robinson. So, first, a quick overview of the offensive line. They are 19th in the NFL in pass blocking, according to Pro Football Focus. They've allowed 11 sacks the last three games. So, think about it. The Eagles have 12 sacks, I think, the last three games, if that's right. And we've all been saying, like, oh my God, they're getting so much. That's what it's looked like against Trevor Lawrence. They've allowed a lot of pressure. Now, the big news this week is that they traded away Cam Robinson to the Minnesota Vikings. Robinson had been their starting left tackle. Now, he'd missed a few games, so they didn't have him in there all season, but he was their starting left tackle. And now they moved to Walker Little, who we'll talk about in a second. I asked Brandon Graham in the locker room today, Thursday, there I go again, about, you know, what it's like to when there's a player that's changed, you know, kind of not midweek because wasn't middle week when the trade happened, but you know, that Cam Robinson had been the main guy and now you're doing homework on another player. So here's Brandon Graham on that. And then I also asked him, because I thought this was an interesting answer by him, about the idea of the Eagles edge rushers and defensive line having momentum going into the season, going into this game, and what he thought about that. So here's what Brandon Graham had to say about that.
Jaguars offensive line, they just switched up one of their tackles, traded away Cam Robinson. What's the difficulty of having maybe a last minute change like that where you're expecting to see one player?
I mean, you just want to make sure that you see a little film on them, see how they're going to play you so that you can know how to do it. But I mean, for the most part, it's football. Just got to make sure us up front that we're getting off the rock, making it halfway easier for us by getting off the ball and then just playing what you see. And as we go, it's about adjusting in the game. And so as we talk about it on the sideline and go through what's going on and how he's playing, then that's when we make adjustments. But I think we got a good – he played against the Packers, so we got some good film on him. We kind of already kind of got a plan of who we're going to see. And so just can't wait to see, you know, just how I go down on Sunday.
You've been a part of a lot of defensive lines in your career here. Do you think momentum for a unit is a thing? Because you guys are really on a hot streak right now.
Right now, it is. It is, but you want to make sure you're getting better every week. You can't believe in the hype that's going on right now. You know how it switches up real quick, so you got to make sure you stay on your game. I know for us, we've been going through it these last couple weeks, and then these last three been good, you know, but in order for us to stay good, we gotta keep doing what we did the first time, block out the noise, make sure that we doing what we supposed to do in practice, execute and game plan on Sunday, and make sure that we just tackling, stay with what we do, and everything else will kind of take care of itself. But don't look too far ahead. Worry about these Jaguars.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So Brandon's right. There is tape out there on Walker Little. He has played in his career, but let's just summarize it in a way Brandon won't. Walker Little, not that good. In fact, their line in general, not a great line. They have two very good guards. They have one, excuse me, I don't know why recently I've been yawning on the pod. I'm sorry. I know that's very unappealing. They have two very good guards and one good center, but their tackle situation is a real problem. And because of that, it's just really hard for them to keep Trevor Lawrence clean and to get him, have him have a good pocket. So at left tackle, they have Walker Little, one hurry, one sack, and 77 pass blocking snaps. He's played 110 snaps the last 2 weeks. So there's that tape that Brandon Graham can watch. And he's a fourth year player. So look, unproven, I don't think is very good based off, you know, his career, what he's been, but the Jaguars are obviously confident enough, and obviously part of this is trading away Cam Robinson for you know, value, since they're not a good team. But they must feel good enough in him to put him in there. It's still a matchup that the edge rushers should win. You know, Nolan Smith, a matchup he should win. Nolan Smith, I believe, is going to be lining up against Walker Little the most. And Nolan Smith has played really well the last few weeks. So I think that's a matchup the Eagles can win. At left guard, they have Ezra Cleveland. He's very, very good. Now, he is dealing with an ankle injury. It does seem like he's going to play. But Ezra Cleveland, 10th on Pro Football Focus at pass blocking among guards. He played with Minnesota most of his career. He was traded to the Jaguars last season. He's allowed only 3 hurries, 2 hits, and 3 sacks. But 3 hurries is a real number there. Like, to only allow 3 hurries in 8 games, that's pretty impressive. Their center, Mitch Morris, pretty good. 16th in Pro Football Focus. 7 hurries, 0 hits, 2 sacks. Their right guard, Brandon Scherff, who I'm sure I'm messing that name up, and I apologize. Another very good player, 18th on Pro Football Focus for pass blocking among guards. 6 hurries, 1 hit, 0 sacks. And then, like I said, this is where it slips again. Like, they have a good interior of the line. It's a good matchup. Or I should say a tough matchup for Jalen Carter, for Milton Williams, for Moro Ojomo. And then, you know, we'll see what Jordan Davis can do against the run. But in terms of getting pressure up the middle, they've been pretty good in that regard and keeping Trevor Lawrence clean. But right tackle, Anton Harrison, 59th according to Pro Football Focus, so one of the worst starting tackles in the league. 13 hurries so far this season, obviously not great. 2 sacks, 2 hits. Only a second-year player. He was a first-round pick in 2023, so he's not a bust by any stretch. He was a late first-round pick. You know, he still gets some time. But right now, these are two tackle matchups that the Eagles should be able to win and that they should be able to get pressure on Trevor Lawrence. Like I said, they've allowed 11 sacks the last 3 games. They're below average pass blocking line overall. They have 1 new starting tackle. So this is a matchup the Eagles should be able to take advantage of. A month ago, I would have said to you they're probably not going to because they hadn't been a good line. But over the last few weeks, they've shown that when presented with a winnable matchup, they are able to get the job done. So I will give the Eagles defensive line the edge over the Jaguars offensive line. But I'm prepared to look foolish if that doesn't happen because if I believe in the Eagles a lot now, I think they've overcome a lot. I think they are Super Bowl contenders. The pass rush is the one thing I don't believe in. So that is the matchup of the Eagles pass rush versus the Jaguars offensive line. Thank you guys so much for listening. As I said, I hope you enjoyed your Halloween. I hope everybody got all the candy they wanted and get ready for some football on Sunday. I can't wait for this game. I will talk to you guys later. And as we always say, he's Elliot, I'm James. Talk to you later.